Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud Zayin. We begin on Daf Yud Zayin with Aleph, about 15 lines down from the top of the two dots. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Shena Nagler, Shena Drezel. All the Shas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up discussing again some of the Hanukkah, the requirement for the Adon, for the Baal, to go and give some severance gifts, some parting gifts to the Avodim. So we're now going to have a three-way machlokes as to what is the value, the minimum value of those gifts. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learn the following braisa. Kama ma'anikim lo, when you have to give the Hanukkah to the Eved Ivri or the Omoha Ivriya, what is the amount, the proper amount? So it's a three-way machlokes. So the first opinion is Rav Meir, and he says, Chomesh sloim mikol min umin. You have to go and give five sloim from the three different types of produce that are mentioned in the parsha. What are those three things? So Rashi brings down that this is mitzonecha, migornecha, umiyikvecha. So the pasuk tells us that hanek tanik lo mitzonecha, migornecha, umiyikvecha, from the tzon, from the flock, from the goats and the sheep, migornecha, from the goren, from the grain, umiyikvecha, from the wine press, from the wine. So therefore, these three categories, you have to give him chamesh shloim mikol min umin, at least five shloim's worth of the tzon, of the goren, of the grain, and of the yekav, of the wine. From each one, mikol min umin, five shloim. And then he tells us, shein chamesh esrei shloim. Then he adds it up and says it's 15. The Gemara will ask in a moment, we don't also know how to add. So why does he have to tell us that it's 15? We could add 5 plus 5 plus 5 is 15 ourselves. In any event, we'll get to that in a moment. Divri Rameir. The first opinion is Rameir's opinion, which we just said. Then you have Yehuda. Yehuda Omer, that you have to give him 30 shloshim. You have to give him 30 shloim. So the opinion of Rav Yehuda, we'll see in the Gemara where he derives this from, and he says, Kishloshim shel eved, that this is like the eved kinani that is gored. Rashi tells us, if you have an eved kinani that is gored by a shor muad, so the nezek, the damage you have to pay, if this shor muad that you have goes and kills the eved kinani, shahorig is a eved, so you have to pay 30. So too, review the darshins out that the Hanukkah has to be the equivalent of that. We'll see in a moment why, based upon drushos of the psukim. That's the second opinion. Rav Yehuda says 30. The first opinion, Rav Meir, said 15, 5, 5, and 5. Rav Yehuda says 30. We learn it out from an Eved Kanani who was gored and killed. It's 30 Sela fine, 30 Shkalim fine. So to over here, it's 30 Sloim. And the final opinion is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Chamishim. You get have to pay Hanukkah 50 Sloim, and that's from Chamishim Sheba Rochet. That is the largest amount of an erech. Erech is when a person says, based upon gender and based upon age, certain specific amounts that a person donates to tzedakah. So he says, erech yolai or erech kecholai. So it depends upon the age of the person and the gender of the person. The Torah specifies certain amounts. The largest one is for a man between the ages of 20 and 60. So there is a valuation that is made by the Torah of 50 shloim. So just like the chamishin shebe erochin is the highest amount, so too over here, the Hanukkah is 50 shloim. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now go back and dissect all of these opinions to understand them. So the first one was with Meir. Amar Mar, we said, chamesh shloim yikol min umin, sheheim chamesh esrei shloim tira Meir. The first opinion was with Meir, said it's 5 from the goren, 5 from the tzon, 5 from the yekev. So a total of 15. And he added it up and said it's 15. The Gemara asked the obvious question, which I mentioned before. Rabbi Meir, minyan osa lashmina. What? We don't know how to count. Why did Rabbi Meir have to tell us 5 plus 5 plus 5 is 15? So the Gemara says, no. So the chiddush over here, kol kamashlan, the chiddush of Rabbi Meir is, mivtzar hu delo mivtzar le meha minyana, that the total valuation of all three of these things must be at least 15. Lav davka, that it's 5, 5, 5. Let's say you don't have tzon. So you only have one of tzon. Let's say you only have one of Gorin, one of Yekev. So then you'll make it up with the others, as the Gemara tells us. If of these three things, the tzon, the Gorin, and the Yekev, you don't have in your possession 5 of each one, no problem. So give him 3 of one, and you'll make it up. You'll give him an extra 2 for one of the other categories. If you have less of the amount of 5 in any one of these three minim, you'll give him more than that in the other minim to make a total of 15. Less than, but there's no problem if you in fact give him less than 5 of each one. That's not the critical factor. The critical factor is to give him a hanukkah of at least 15 altogether. Ideally 5, 5, 5, but if it's 3 and 8 and 4, that's perfectly good as well. Okay. Now, where did Rav Meir get this idea of 15 from? Where does this come from? 5, 5, and 5. My time of the Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, the pasuk tells us, the end of Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yugimel is Lo Sishalchenu Rekom. It says, don't go and let him go free. And then Pasuk Yudala tells us, Haneik Taniklo, go give him the Hanukkah and give it from Mitzoncha, Migornecha, Mikvech, as we just said. And the end of the Pasuk is, Asher Birachecha, Asher Lokecha, Titen Lo. So Rav Meir learns it out, Yolif Rekom, Rekom, Mibuchor. By a Bechor, it says, Ko Bechor Banecha Tivdeh, Velo Yerufanai Rekom. So it uses the Lashon of Rekom by a Bechor, and the pigeon on bed for a Bechor is five Selah, and it uses the Lashon over here of Losis Shalchen Rekom by the Eved. So therefore, Yolif Rekom, Rekom, he learns it out from Bechor. Now, Ma Lahalun Chomish Shlom, just like by Bechor, it's five Selah. So to over here, Avkan Chomish Shloim, and he learns out that it's five Shloim, each for the Goren, and the Yekev, and the Tzon. So therefore, it's a total of 5, 5, 5, which is 15. Nudimar says, Hey, Chomish Shloim Yikulu. Who says it's 5, 5, 5? Maybe it's just a total of five. Let's learn it out from the Bechor, who's redeemed for five Shloim. So maybe the total Hanok is five. So the Gemara says, if that were true, Iksiv Rekom Lebesov. If it had said Hanek Tanik Lo Mitzoncha Migornecha Miyekvecha Hashem Yirach Hashem Alkecha Titen Lo Lo Sishalchenu Rekom. If that was the end of the pasuk, at the end of pasuk Yudal, it said Lo Sishalchenu Rekom. Then you'd be 100% right. Iksiv Rekom Lebesov Kiduka Amos. Then you're right. It would only be five. But now it says Rekom at the end of pasuk Yud Gimel. It says Lo Sishalchenu Rekom, and then it starts Hanek Tanik Lo. In pasuk yudalit, so rekom is bereisha. Hashda d'chsiv rekom bereisha. So therefore, it means to tell us shade rekom atzon. Throw the equivalent of the five on the tzon. Rekom agorin. Throw the equivalent of five on the gorin. And rekom ayekiv. Throw the equivalent of five on the yekiv. Ah, 5, 5, 5 is 15. That's where Rav Meir gets his drasha. Where he says, but why do we learn out the drasha comparing the eved, the hanaka, to this din of pigeon aben? Why don't we compare it to Olas Re'iyah? After all, this pasuk Kol B'chor B'necha Tivdeh V'lo Yeru Fanai Rekam is also discussing bringing up korbanos such as the Olas Re'iyah. The Nelef Rekam Rekam Olas Re'iyah, just like the Olas Re'iyah has to be two more, so too the Hanukkah should only be two more. That's a much, much, much smaller amount than five Shloim. So why did you, Rav Meir, compare it to the five Shloim of Pidyon HaBen when you could have compared it to the two more of Olas Re'iyah? So the Gemara says, "Amakra," because the end of this pasuk is "Asher birachcha Hashem lokecha titen lo." You shall give him as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed you. So if the choice is giving him a small amount, two ma, or a larger amount, five selah, so then you go give him the larger amount. That is the drush of Rav Meir. Okay, now we go on to the opinion of Rav Yehuda Omer Shloshim. He said it was 30 Shloim because he compared it to Kishloshim Shel Eved. It's like the Eved Kenani that was killed by the Shor HaMuad. So you have to pay the fine of 30 Shloim. So Rav Yehuda compares the Hanukkah to the penalty for the Eved Kenani that was killed by your Shor HaMuad. Why? My time of the Rav Yehuda, where does this comparison come from? So the Gemara tells us, Aleph Nesina Nesina Me'Eved. We had the pasuk that says, "Asher Birach Hashem Lokecha Titen Lo," a lashon of Nesina Titen Lo, and it says in regards to the ox that's your Shor HaMuad that gores the Eved Kenani and kills him, that you have to pay 30 shloim. It says, "Im Eved Yigach Hashor O Amo," if the Shor kills an Eved Kenani or an Amo Kenanis, so Kesef Shloshim Shkalim Yitain Ladunov. Also a lashon of Nesina. So we have this Gzeirah Shavah of Nesina, Nesina, Me'eved. And therefore, Ma'ala Halo Shloshim by the Eved, who's killed by the Shor HaMuad, you have to pay 30. So too, through this Gzeirah Shavah, Nesina, Nesina, we learn this out, that the Hanukkah should be 30. Nu, the word says, V'nelef Nesina, Nesina, Me'arochin. By Arochin, when you compare the evaluations, it says, V'chichav lo ha-kohen es michsa so erkecha, achna sa yovel, v'nosan es so erkecha, Bayamahu Kodesh Lashem. So therefore, it should be a lashon v'nasan es erkecha from Arachin. And Arachin, we said the maximum amount is 50. So why didn't Rav Yehuda compare Nesina Nesina to the 50 of Arachin instead of comparing it to the 30 of the Shor HaMuad that kills the Eved Kenani? Malahalu Chamishin, Avkan Chamishin. Why did he compare it to 30 instead of the 50? So two answers are given. The first one is, Chada, number one, famous rule, the tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta, when you have a choice of going to a larger amount or a smaller amount. So the smaller amount's always included in the larger amount. So when you're saying 30, so that definitely is included in 50. It has 30 in it. So if you're grabbing onto 30, you'll be right no matter what. But if you grab onto 50, well, maybe not. Maybe it should be 30, and that would be too large. So when the choice is to grab onto the smaller amount or the larger amount, tafasta meruba, if you grab onto the larger one, lo tafasta, you may not be correct. Tafasta mua, but if you grab the 30, you're certainly right, because the 30 is included in 30, and 30 is included in 50. So therefore, tafasta. So that's answer number one. You have the choice of 30 or 50, you pick the smaller one. And second, the ode. Where do we learn out the 30 from? That was dealing with an Eved Kenani. And Hanukkah is dealing with an Eved. So Eved, me Eved, Havalele Melef. It makes more sense to learn Eved from Eved rather than Eved from Arochin. So these are the two answers that we give why Rav Yehuda preferred to learn the Nesin and Nesin Gzeir Shava to the 30 of an Eved Kenani that's killed by the Sharmuad rather than the 50 of the largest amount of Arochin. Now, Tosos asks a bomb kash over here. So wait a second, if you're telling me over here, tafasta move a little tafasta, tafasta move tafasta, so why didn't we just say that a minute ago? A minute ago we just said, instead of learning the two ma, we should go and say, not two ma, but the five for Pidgin and Ben. Because we said, kasher birachacha, Hashem lokecha, titen lo, so that tells us, don't take the smaller amount, take the larger amount. So why don't we say the same thing over here, Tosos says? Tosos should say, take the 50 rather than the 30, because you should give, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed you, should give the larger amount. Just like the five of the Pidgin HaBen was used rather than the two more of the Oles Re'iyah, so we should take the larger amount, 50 rather than 30. So Tosfos explains, no. By Nesina, Nesina, we had two separate words. It said Nesina separately in regards to the Eved Kenani, in terms of the Shor Muad, killing him, and it said Nesina separately in regards to the Arochin. But in regards to the words Lo, Yeruf, and I, Rekam, so Rekam wasn't said both by Pidgin HaBen separately and by the Oles Re'iyah separately. It was written one time, Lo, Yeruf, and I, Rekam, and it went to both of them. So therefore, in that situation, where it only says it once, then you have to say that Kasher B'Rachacha, Hashem Elokecha, Titen Lo, is the more overriding concern, and not Tafasta Meruba, Lo Tafasta. Okay, very strong question and answer by Tosus. Okay, that's Rav Yehuda, who says you'll learn it out from the 30 of the Eved Kenani that was killed by Sharmuad. Finally, we have the opinion of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, Omer Chamishim, Ke Chamishim Sheba Arochin. Then we learn it out from the 50 by Arochin. So the Gemara says, why? My time with Rav Shimon. So again, we already alluded to this. Gemara Nesina, Nesina, Mi Arochin. It says, Nesina, it says, Mitzas HaErkecha, Achnas HaYova, V'nosan Esor Erkecha, Bayom Ahu, Kodesh LaShem. So it says Nesina there, and as we pointed out, Hashem Erachah, Hashem Elkecha, Titen Lo, it says it by the Hanukkah. So therefore, Ma Lahalo Chamishim by Arochin, it's 50, so too, by Hanukkah, Avkan Chamishim. Adigmar says, why did you pick the 50, the largest one by Arochin? Some of the Arochin are much less than 50. You can have a baby girl whose evaluation is only 3 slayim. That's the smallest one. A baby girl under the age of 5, so her evaluation is 3 slayim. So why don't we say that the minimum amount of Hanok is 3 slayim? Why do we take the largest in Arochin? Should take the Pachos Sheba Arochin. Ah, where it says, because the pasuk says, Hashem Yirachah, Hashem Elokecha, Titen Lo, Ksiv, because it has this idea that you should give generously. So give 50 rather than 3. Again, the Gemara says, but that doesn't make any sense. The Leinith, Nesina, Nesina, Me'evet. Mal Halu Shloshim, Avkan Shloshim. If you're telling me that we should go do a smaller amount, so then do the 30 of the Eved and not the 50 of Arochin. So Gemara says, again, the reason why we should go to the 30 is, number one, chodo tafasta, meruba lo tafasta, as we just said, and further, vote, evet me'evet, havalei le'melef. So why did Rabbi Shimon choose the 50 and not the 30 that Rabbi Yehuda had done? After all, it looks like Rabbi Yehuda was right. So Gemara says, you're 100% correct. If you go like Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be 100% correct. If the Gzeir Shav is in the Sina and the Sina, it makes sense to do it to the smaller one, tafasta, meruba lo tafasta, and evet me'evet makes more sense. However, in fact, the Gzeir Shav Rabbi Shimon is not Nesina Nesina. The Gzeir Shav Rabbi Shimon is actually Micha Micha Gomar. The pasuk by Arochin says V'yemachu Me'er Kecho. So it has a lashon of Mach Micha, and it says as well V'chiyamocha Chicha. And your brother is very poor; he's destitute, and he has to sell himself. So therefore, the Gzeir Shav for Rabbi Shimon is actually comparing Micha Micha, and that's why he compares it to Arochin and not to the Eved Kenani that was killed by the Shor Muad for 30. Now the Gemara says, "Bishlamel Rav Meir." It makes sense according to Rav Meir. Well, you understood why it says, "Hainu d'siv mitzon cha migor nacho miyekveka." He says, "Tzon v'gor v'yek," because he had 5, 5, and 5. El Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, what do you need to tell me? Mitzon cha migor nacho u miyekveka. That has nothing to do with their drasha. It was straight out 30 for Rabbi Yehuda from Avid Kanani, who was killed by Shor Muad, and it was a straight 50 from the Arachim for Rabbi Shimon. What does that have to do with Soncha, Gornecha, Umiyekvecha? Haitzon, Vigor, Viyekiv, Lomeli. What do they need them mentioned in the Pasuk? Shmuel says they need it as well. They need it for the following drasha. I might have thought that the only types of things that you give the 30 or 50 from are going to be from Tzon, Gorin, and Yekiv. And I would have said, how do we know that you give actually from anything else? It doesn't have to be only from Tzon, Gorin, and Yekiv. Talmud Lomer, Asher B'rachachah, Shem L'kechot Yitin Lo. As it says at the end of that pasuk, you should give him as you've been blessed, so you should bless him, so you should give to him. So then, in came out Talmud Lomer, Tzon, Gorin, V'yakiv. So why do you need to tell me then, Tzon, Gorin, V'yakiv, you don't have to give him Tzon, Gorin, V'yakiv? So Gemara says, Lomer, L'cha, to teach us that it has to be like the Tzon, Gorin, and V'yakiv. Ma Tzon, Gorin, V'yakiv, miyuchodim. They're special, distinct, she'eshdon, v'chlal, b'racha. That there's something that bracha takes effect on them. They are growing. They magnify. So too, the only way you can give hanak is with something that magnifies, something that grows, something that increases. Av kol she'eshdon, v'chlal, bracha. It has to have the bracha capacity to it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, this comes to exclude yatsu kisofen, this comes to exclude money. Money is static, it doesn't change. So, divrei Rabbi Shimon says, money is excluded from the hanukkah. You can't give him cash, you got to give him something light, tzon, gorin, and yekiv, anything that will grow, anything that will increase, you can give him. But money doesn't increase. $50 bill is a $50 bill, doesn't change, therefore you can't give him money. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. He learns it out from the fact that it wrote Tzon, Gorin, and Yekiv. And Rabbi Lezman Yaakov disagrees. He says, no, the money does grow. You invest it, as we'll see. But this comes to exclude Yatsu Parados. This comes to exclude mules, which are an animal that cannot reproduce. A mule is a combination of a donkey and a horse, and it's sterile. It can't reproduce. So therefore, this is what it comes to exclude. You can't give them a mule. New, why doesn't each one say like the other one? For Bishimon Parados, why doesn't he say the Parados? After all, they don't reproduce, they're sterile. So he says, Mishabchon Bigufayu, because Rabbi Shimon holds that they will grow. There will be a smaller donkey, it'll be a bigger donkey, then even a bigger donkey, it grows. So therefore, it is something that has bracha to it. Miyuchadim Shieshdim Chal Bracha, it grows. Why didn't Rabbi Lezim Yaakov say money? Because Rabbi Lezim Yaakov holds Ksofim, Ovid Bu Iska. He says the money does grow. Therefore, he's not going to have to exclude money. He excludes the Prados, which he says they're sterile. They don't really grow. They don't reproduce. But money, you invest money, and the money grows. And therefore, that's why each of them respectively said their Shita and not the other Shita. Okay. Now, the more questions, why do we need to tell us all three? Tzon, Gorin, and Yekiv. I would learn out reproducing, growing from just two of the three. So you need all three. Tzricha. Because the Kazav Rachman Tzon, if you only wrote Tzon, only wrote the goats and sheep, so then I would have said Havamina Balichayim in Gidule Karkalo. I would have said that only seems to imply that you have to give a live animal. So you have to give the Hanukkah with a live animal that really, really grows, really, really reduces, but not something that grows from the ground. Therefore, Kazav Rachman Gorin. Therefore, it had to tell us that it has to be from your Gorin, from your silo, from your grain, from your Dogon. You just tell me that because of Gorin. If you only told me Gorin, I would have said, yeah, have a mean a Gidule Karki in Baal Chaim Lo. I would have said, yeah, it has to literally grow from the ground. But if it's a Baal Chai procreating in that way, that wouldn't be good. Therefore, Kamash Vulan, it had to tell me both Tzon, Tzoncha, and Gornecha. So, it had to tell me those two. Nu, why did it tell me Miyekvecha? What was the purpose of that? Yekev Lomeli. Why did it have to tell me Yekev? We turn to the Yitzayin Amud Beis. It had to tell me Yekev to teach us Lemar Lemute Kisofim, according to Rabbi Shimon, to exclude Kisofim, and Lemar Lemute Predos, and according to Rabbi Lezvin Yaakov, to exclude the sterile mule. So therefore, that's why they needed the third category to tell us that certain things are included and not included, and that's why we needed all three, Tzon, Goren, and Yekev. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Tanu Rabbanon, the end of the pasuk says, Hashem b'rach ha'ashem l'kecho titin lo, that you have to give him like HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed you. So I would have said, Yochol nizbarech bayis b'glolo manikim lo. If you saw when this Eved Ivri was with you for 6 years, and Baruch Hashem, your bank account increased tenfold, so then you got to give him a nice hanukkah. But lo nizbarech bayis b'glolo, but if you see after the 6 years, you're pretty much in the same financial states as you were beforehand, so then maybe you wouldn't have to give him any manikim lo. So therefore, the Tanakam in this price says, Tamad lomar, no, haneg tanik. You have to give him no matter what, whether your financial status is improved or not. Nevertheless, he worked for you for 6 years, you have to give him hanukkah. Mikol makom, regardless of whether you actually benefited from him. So then what does it say? If you weren't, in fact, giving him the hanukkah based upon your blessing, so then why does it say that? So the Gemara says, Hakol lufi bracha, tell lo. Because if in fact you were blessed, then you should give him more. These are minimal standards that we said. Even if you're not blessed, you should give him that. But Baruch Hashem, if you saw that you were blessed during his stay with you, so then you should even give him more. That's what it means, to give him more if HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed you as a result of having him as the Eved Ivri. That's the opinion of Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah tells us, Omer, Devarim Kirsava. No, it's exactly like the Tanna Kamma says it's not the case. That's what Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says, Nizbarech bayis biglolo maniklo. If your household, Baruch Hashem, your financial statement's improved, you're now worth 10 times as much, Baruch Hashem, you give him a nice hanukkah. But lo nizbarech bayis biglolo. If your financial statement is static, you haven't changed much in the 6 years that he's been there, so then there is no chiyav ein maniklo. Because it says, Kasher asher biracha Hashem elkecha. So if you were blessed, fine. If you're not blessed, also, you don't have to give him that knocker, fine. Then why does it say the double lashon im kain, ma tamud lomer hanek tanik, the Tanna Kamma learned it out, mikol makom, hanek tanik lo mikol makom, here, Rabbi Lozman Azariah, what does he do with the double lashon hanek tanik? So he tells us, dibur Torah kelashon b'nei adam, the famous statement we have throughout Shas, that why we have these double lashons, sakol yisakel, all of these double lashons there to show emphasis, this is the way a person speaks, surely this shall be. So hanek tanik is, you surely shall give him a hanukkah, if Baruch Hashem, you were blessed when he was in your house. Okay. New Brisa, Tanur Rabbanon, Eved Ivri, Oved Es HaBein. And Eved Ivri will have to go and continue working for the son of the Adon that he was in servitude for if that Adon dies. However, that's only the son. Ved Oved Es HaBas, he doesn't have to go, and if the Adon dies and there is no son, but there's a daughter, he doesn't have to continue working in servitude for the daughter, and certainly not for any other relatives. Amo Avriya, but the Amo Avriya, if the master dies, Ein Oved Es Lo Och, Habein velo es abas. She doesn't have to work for anybody. She doesn't have to work not for a son, but not for a daughter, and not for any other relatives, certainly as well. So the difference is the Eved Ivri has to work for the son of the Adon if the Adon dies, but the Alma Vriya doesn't have to work for nobody except the Adon. If the Adon dies, she doesn't stay in servitude. Likewise, Hanirtza, the Hanimkar, Laobi Kochavim, a person who is a Nirtza, he wanted to stay on for beyond the 6 year period of time, he's an Eved Ivri, and he takes upon himself the additional period of time to be a Nirtza. He has his ears pierced, as we've talked about many times, or if a person was sold to an Obi Kochavim. So then, if that master dies, whether it's the Nirtza's master or the Obi Kochavim who dies, Ain Oved Lo Es HaBein Lo Es HaBas. Then that person goes free. He doesn't have to work the son or the daughter. So the bottom line is, I may have said this wrong the other day, so give me an opportunity to clarify it now. The Amo Avriya under no circumstances ever works for anybody but the Adon. If the Adon dies, she goes free. She doesn't work for the son, she doesn't work for the daughter, she doesn't work for any other relatives that Yarish in this Adon. And so too with the Nirtza, and so too with the Nimkar Liovi Kochavim. The only one who sometimes will work for the son is an Eved Ivri himself. He'll work for the son of the master if the master dies during the 6 years, but he'll never work for the daughter, and certainly not for any other relatives. Now, that's the Braisa, and we're going to dissect this. Omamar, we learned in the Braisa, Eved Ivri, Oved Es HaBein, Ved Oved Es HaBas. The Eved Ivri, if the Adon dies, does have to still work if there's a son who inherits that Adon, but he doesn't have to work for a daughter. Now, where do we see this from? You know, Hanimili, where's this scene in the Psukim? So we learned another Braisa, Tanur Rabban, and it says, the Pasuk tells us, Va'avod cha sheishonim. You will work for him for 6 years, implying l'cha for that person, for the Adon, as well as his son, as we'll see, v'lo liyorish, but not to other yorshim, meaning not to a daughter, and not to any other relatives other than a son who yarshin this Adon. No, you're telling me at omer luchav lo yorish. You're telling me it means to this person, the Adon, or his son, but not to any other relatives who yarshin him, such as a daughter or any other relatives. O eno el luchav lo lebein. Maybe it means only to the Adon and not even to his son. So no, we have another pasuk that doesn't specify kishu omer shei shanim yavod. In general, hare lebein omer. That includes the bein. Aye, then what do we need? So it says he has to work for him, so it means for him or his son. L'cha, the little yorish, but not for the daughter and not for any other relatives that inherit him. So from these two psukim, which is a miut, and from Shei Shanim Yavod, which is a generalization, so therefore we learn out, you only work for the Adon or the Adon's son. So the Eved Ivri will only work for those two. If the Adon dies, he'll have to work for the son of the Adon, but he'll never have to work for a daughter or any other relatives that inheriting the Adon other than the Adon's son. So that's this drasha for the Eved Ivri. More questions this, and Mara says, Why are you telling me that he has to work for the son based upon these two psukim? Why did you see it this way? You said we're going to include the bain over here, and we're not going to include the brother of the Adon. Maybe it's the other way around. Why don't we include the brother of the Adon and not the bain? So Gemara says, no. It makes more sense to include the bain for two reasons. Number one, shekain kom tachas oviv liyada, because the son takes the place of the father for marrying this girl. If the father, the Adon, doesn't want to marry this girl, so he gives it over to his son. So therefore, the son takes the place, but not the brother of the father. And therefore, that's number one, that we see the son is the more important person as opposed to the father's brother. And number two, l'steachuza, who gets to inherit the steachuza? It's the son, not the brother of the father. And therefore, for these two reasons, we have the son, makes more sense to be married with the son rather than the och. Now, where it says, adirabba, why don't we say over here, marba niyasa och, it makes more sense to go and say the och is the primary person because shekein kom tachas ochiv liyibam. We have the brother taking the place of the dead brother to do yibam. We don't have that for the son. There's no son doing yibam. Someone says that's ridiculous because the only reason why the son doesn't do yibam is because there is no mitzvah of yibam in that situation. So the only time the brother will do yibam is because there is no son. And therefore, ha'yesh bein, if there is a son, ain't yibam. So therefore, the son is the more important one. Gemara questions this, however, and says, is that really the reason? Because of this drasha that Klum yesh yibam, ele b'mokru shein bein, and ho yesh bein ein yibam? But why don't we just say two against one? Ele taim l'dika ha pircha, you're saying, this is why we slugged up this, that it should be either Abba, the brother, because he does yibam, and we slug it up because there's no yibam if there's a son. Ha lav hachi, o chodif, without this slugging it up, you would have said the brother takes precedence over the son? Why don't we just say, v'tei b'klei, d'hacha tarti v'hacha chada? Why don't we say, we had two reasons over here. Number one, he takes the place of the father, liyada. And number two, l'steachuza. So it was two against one anyway. So Gemara says, no. Steachuza, we didn't know the answer to. We don't know that the son takes precedence over the brother of the father for steachuza. We only learned that out from the same reasoning over here. Klum yesh yibam, ele b'mokum shein bein. Ha yesh bein, ein yibam. So that's how we learn out steachuza as well. Steachuza nami mihai pirchuhu, d'kor nafka le'latana. So therefore, Klum yesh yibam, ele b'mokum shein bein is the real reason, and that taught us steachuza as well as it teaches us over here, the din, that the Eved Ivri will work for the Adon, and if the Adon dies, he'll only work for the Adon's son, but not for the Adon's brother. Okay, now, that finishes off the discussion right now for the Eved Ivri. Then we had said the Amo Evriya, as well as the Nirtza, and well as the Mocher Liovi Kochavim, all of them don't have to go work for anybody other than the Adon. So we start off darshaning Amo Evriya, and Oved is Loa Sabain, Loa Sabas. The Amo Evriya will never have to work for anybody but the Adon. If the Adon dies, she doesn't go and work for the son, she doesn't go work for the daughter. And as well, not for any of the other relatives. How do we know this? We know it immediately. So I'm a Rapada. Rapada says, Damakrat, based upon the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, in regards to the law of Nirtza, it says, V'af la'amoscha tasakein. Now, it says, in regards to this din, right, of Nirtza, it says, so too, to the girl, the Amoriah, tasakein. So what does that mean? She can't have Nirtza. So, Hikisha, cause of the Nirtza, it's connected to Nirtza, to teach us the following din. Ma Nirtza ain't a oved lo esabein v'lo esabas. Just like the Nirtza doesn't have to go and work for anybody but the Adon. He won't work for the son or the daughter if the Adon dies. The Hekish over here is af omo avriya ain't a oved lo esabein v'lo esabas. She doesn't have to work for the son or the daughter of the Adon if the Adon dies. More questions. This is, wait a second. We already know that v'hai la moscha tasachein l'hoch yudiyase. You're telling me we need it for this drasha. I need it for another drasha. We need it for the following drasha. We say v'af la moscha tasachein. That's the teachers of din lahanik of Hanaka, that you have to give her these severance pay, these parting gifts when she leaves, just like you do for the male servant. So too af la moscha tasachein in regards to Hanaka. So therefore, why are you telling me it's to teach us this din, that she doesn't work for the son or the daughter? It's to teach us the din of Hanaka. So Ata Omer Lahanik, you're telling me for Hanaka, maybe in fact it tells us that we should compare it not for Hanaka, but for Ritzia. Maybe in fact she should have Ritzia. She could be a Nirtza too. Gemara says, no, that's impossible. Because Kishu Omer, already had said this drasha previously in the shir, in previous shirim, v'imam mar yomar eved, we said, if the eved says, ahavdi es adoni es eshiv es benoi, lo etzei chofshi, it's only the eved who says this. The lo omo ha'ivriya. So we already know that the omo ha'ivriya can't have nirtza. And therefore, haru ritzia omor. Ritzia has already taught to us that she can't have nirtza. So therefore, ha ma ani makayim, v'af la mosko tasa kein, lahanik. It teaches us this div of hanaka. So again, why don't we say that this is a din of Hanukkah instead of saying that it's a din of that she doesn't work, lo asabein, lo asabas? Gemara says you can learn both. Im kain, if you wanted to just teach me the din of nirtza, so then, nichtov kro la moskla kain. You would have said, just, you do this to the alma hovriya. My la moskla taaseh. What does it say? V'af la moskla Tase Kane. So it comes to teach us both. You teach both the Anoka, and you teach us also that she doesn't serve Lo Vedas, Lo Sabain, Lo Sabas, Shamas Minotarti. You can learn both. So therefore, there is no problem. That's the right way to make the drasha. And finally, the last one, Hanirtza, Fanim Kalovi Kochavim. How do we know that both of them ain't Ovi Lo Sabain, Lo Sabas? So how do we know that? So Nirtza Dirsev, it says Beferish, Virotza Adonov, it says No Bamatsev, Avadoli Alam. It says, you will serve him as Adonav Bamartzeya. So, v'lo esabein v'lo sabas. You only serve the master, the Adon, but not the son or the daughter. No, that's for the Nirtza. Nimkar l'yovi kochav minayin. How do we know that the one who sold to the guy also, that if the guy dies, he don't serve the guy's son or daughter? So, Machiski, Amakra. Chiski says it's based upon the following pasuk. V'chishav im koneyu. Because you'll have to go and calculate with the one who purchased him. So, when the relatives go and redeem him, so they have to calculate how much the redemption should be. But it says, v'chishav im koneyu, and it says, below, implying, below im yorshe koneyu, and not the yorshim. So you see that only to the guy himself that he sold to, but not to the son or the daughter of that guy. Okay, so that's what we learn out of all these dinim. Now we have a further drasha in this area. Amar Rava, Rava tells us, we see from over here what we just said, Devar Torah, Ovi kochav yorishes of it. We see, min haTorah, that a guy inherits his father, the guy. Dvar Torah, this is a din daraisa, because the pasuk says, Shenemar, v'chishavim koneyu, v'lo im yorshe koneyu. You see clearly that you go and calculate out this redemption, the relatives, or the gulas olam, somebody else, goes and talks to the guy, but not to the guy's yorshim. So clearly you see from here, miklal de isla yorshim. Rabbi says, you see from here that there is this concept of daraisa inheritance by goyim. Furthermore, Rava says, ger es ovi kochavim, but for a ger who's nisgayer to go inherit his father who's still a guy, that's not midivrei Torah. Eino midivrei Torah. Because a ger shenisgayer kikotin shenol adami. He's a brand new entity, this ger shenisgayer. And therefore, he technically no longer is a guy, and he therefore doesn't inherit his father. Goyim inherit their goyim fathers. But a guy who converted to become a yid doesn't midoraisa inherit his goyish father, his biological father. So that's not Midivrei Torah. However, the rabbi said yes, as we'll see why, Ela Midivrei Sofrim, he does in fact go and inherit his father, Midirabbanan. Midiraisa he doesn't, but Midirabbanan, the rabbi said yes, he has to still inherit his father. We'll see in a moment why. And this is based upon a Mishnah Demai. What does it say? There, it's not. Ger, the Ovei Kochavim, Sheyarshu Savihem, if you have a father who's a guy, Chris is a guy, and has a son. He has a son, Billy Bob, and he has a son, Jack, who becomes Yaakov. Yaakov converts. Jack converts and becomes Yaakov. So the Goy, Chris, has two sons, and they would, if they were Goyim, they would each inherit their father 50%. So Ger, the Ovi Kochavim, Shiarshu, Esavim, Ovi Kochavim. So Billy Bob, and now Yaakov, who was previously Jack, go and inherit their father, Chris. So Ger, Yochol, Omali, Ovi Kochavim. This Ger, Yaakov, can go tell his brother, Billy Bob, Tol Ata Avodas Kochavim. You take all of Dad's Avodas Kochavim, and I'll take the money, equal amounts. You'll get $100 worth of Avodas Kochavim, and I'll get $100 worth of money. Or he can say, you take all the wine, which is Yayin Nesach, and I'll take the apples, I'll take the fruit. That's perfectly acceptable. However, but if it already came into the possession of the ger, so he physically was now in possession of the Ovi Kochavim or the Yayin Nesach, so then, Osir, then he can't give it away anymore. Now, what do you see from here? If he got it on a daraisa level, So then it automatically would become his, even though it has to come into Rizishus. The minute Chris dies, it automatically is 50% his. So he owns 50% of the Avodah Zarah and 50% of the Ayin Nesach. Ki lo ba'al Rishus Onami. Even though it hasn't come into his physical Rishus, it did because it's inherited Daraisa, if you're telling me it's Daraisa. And therefore, he wouldn't be allowed to go tell his brother Billy Bob, you take the Avodah Zarah and I'll take the money. You take the Ayin Nesach and I'll take the fruits. Because in that situation, Kishakel, if you took him, Chilufi Avodas Kochavim with the Koshel, he would be exchanging the Avodas Kochavim for money. He would be exchanging the Ayin Nesach for apples. And that's not allowed. So therefore, it must be Elamid the Rabbanon. The whole din is a din the Rabbanon that the rabbi said, which we'll explain in a second, why the rabbi said that Midaraisa, you don't own anything. But Midarabbanon will let you go and take it. But once it comes into your possession, you'd own it. So therefore, only take it before it comes into your possession. So you take the money, Kenegad the Avodah Zarah, you take the apples, Kenegad the Yayin Nesach. And why did the rabbis institute this? Because of Gzeira. Gzeira who? The Avodah Rabbanon. It's Gzeira that the rabbis instituted because if you didn't allow Yaakov, formerly Jack, to go and inherit with his brother Billy Bob, he's going to say, hey, I don't want to be Jewish. I want to go and inherit. And he's going to, so to say, renounce his Judaism. Now, Tosus points out he can't do this, but he's going to think he can or he's going to want to. And therefore, Shema Yazor Lusura, the rabbi said, in order to prevent him from wanting to go back and be a guy, you know, Chris was a billionaire. So he says, hey, I don't want to give up 500 million bucks over here, so I'll renounce my Judaism and get the 500 million bucks. So, A, number one, it doesn't work. He wouldn't renounce his Judaism. He would still be a Yid. But in this situation, so the rabbi said, it's Hefker based in Hefker. So, yeah, you can inherit the money, Midirabbanan. And therefore, the Avodah Zarah, the Ayin Nesach, don't come into your possession until you actually have them in your possession. So therefore, it's not called an exchange. It's saying, you, Billy Bob, you go take the Yayin Nesach, or you take the Avodah Zarah, and I'll take the other kosher stuff, and no problem. So it's only a din d'rabbanan. And a Brisa supports Rava's idea. Tani Nami Hochi, the Brisa says exactly what Rava said. B'meh d'var mamurim, under what situation do we say that the ger is allowed to go and split? You take the Avodah Zarah, I'll take the money. You take the Ayin Nesach, I'll take the payros. That's kishiyarshu, for an inheritance, because it hasn't yet come to him. It's only midirabbanan. Avo kishinishtatfu, but if there's two partners over here, and they got in their partnership the Avodah Zarah, or they got Yayin Nesach, so then it belongs to both of them. And then it would be usur if they dissolve the partnership, so then he can't take any share or even an exchange for the share of the Avodah Zarah or of the Yayin Nesach. Oh, this is a raya that only by inheritance is a din derabbanan, as opposed to a partnership is a din deraisa. Furthermore, Rav continues, he says, Ovei kochavim esager. So let's say the father was the one that was Gaya, Chris is Misgaya, and Billy Bob wants to go and inherit Chris. Now here, there's no concern of Shemo Yazo Lusuro, because Chris is dead. So we're not concerned about Billy Bob. And therefore, the Ovi Kochavim, who tries to inherit his father, who now turned Jewish, or Vigar Sager, or if a father and son both converted, and then in that situation, the convert wants to go and inherit his father, so then in that situation, Eino lo midivrei Torah, lo midivrei Sofrim. That doesn't work midaraisa, but it doesn't even work midirabbanan. Now, we have the words ditanan, but on the side it points out that it's really be the tanya. It's really a brisa, because it says, lova mos min hager, shiniskai rubon of imo. If you borrowed money from a ger, and that ger had children that converted with him, so they're not inheriting him min hadin, because ger shiniskai kakoshin shenol adami. So the father and the son are biologically father and son, but halachically they're unrelated to each other. So then, if the father dies, you owe the money to the father, so normally you would give it to the son. But here, it's not a halachic son, it's a biological son, but it's not a halachic son, lo yachzir l'banav. The Brisa says, don't give it to the son, and in fact, if you do, v'imhichzir, ein ruach hacham nochemenu. The rabbis aren't happy about this, because it's going to lead people to mistakenly think that, in fact, they are halachically related when they aren't. Now again, we have the gears here of Tanya, but here, this really is a Mishnah. And this Mishnah tells us, Vatanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Shviyas, Ruach HaChamim Nochaymenu. If you in fact go give it to the son, this Ger's son, you are in fact doing something that the rabbis were happy about. So it seems to be a contradiction between the two Brises. So one says, Lokasha, it's not a contradiction, because the Brisa that we had first that said, Kan Sho Rasa V'Leidasu Shlomik Dusha, that's when they were both born, not with any Kedusha, the conception as well as the birth, where they're both Goyim, and then they converted. So therefore, there is no halachic connection with them at all. We turn to Yud Ches Amud Aleph. However, the second brisa of Akan, Shoroso, Shelo Bikdusha, yes, they were conceived while they were both Goyim. However, Veleidoso Bikdusha, but when he was actually born, his mother had already converted, and therefore he was born as a Jew. And therefore, there is some connection over there, not enough maybe to make it Midoraisa, but enough to make it Midorabanan, that we would go and say that Ruach Chachamim Noche Heimenu. Okay, that's how we reconcile the two brises. Now the Gemara says, Rav Chiya bar Avin Omer Rav Yochanan, as opposed to the din of Rabba that learned it out, that Goyim inherit from V'chishev Im Koneyu, that was Rava's drasha. Rav Chiya bar Avin Omer Rav Yochanan learns out a different drasha that we know that Goyim can inherit each other on a Daraisa level. Ovi Chachom Yorish is Avid Var Torah D'chsev from this pasuk, Ki Yerusha Li Esav Nasati Es Har Seir, that Esav was given as a Yerusha Har Seir. Gemara says, that's not anything. Esav was Jewish. He was a mumar. Vedum Yisrael, mumar shiny. Esav was technically Jewish to a certain extent, as much as Avram Avinu was, right? He was the son of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. So whatever Jewishness Yitzchak had, Esav had the same status. So Vedum Yisrael, mumar shiny. So maybe it's different. So Gemara says, you're right, that's not the real drasha. Ruchiyah bar Avin, Amar Yochanan said, Elam Yehocha. It was from Ki Livnei Lot, Nasati Es Or Yerusha. Bnei Lot. And now, Lot was a nephew of Avram, but he wasn't the son of Avram, so therefore, Lot didn't have the same status as Avram, nor Avram's children, and therefore, when we see by Lot that he was given Yerusha, the city of Ar is a Yerusha, so therefore you see that there is a din daraisa of inheriting by Goyim. So we have two different reasons. We have Ruchiyah bar Avin, Omer Rav Yochanan says it's from this pasuk, Kivnei Lot, Nosati, Es Ar Yerusha, and then we have the pasuk, Chishav Im Koneyu, that Rava darshan. No, why didn't each one like the other one's drasha? Ruchiyah bar Avin, my time will Omar Kirava, that Chishav Im Koneyu. Why didn't he like that? Rasha, because he says, Miksiv Chishavim Koneyu, V'loi Mershi Koneyu. It didn't actually say what Rava said. It's implied, but it didn't actually say it. As opposed to over here, my Pasuk, Hilo, Livnei Lot, Nasati, Esar, Yerusha, it says it beferish. It's only an implication by what Rava said. V'chishavim Koneyu, you should make the evaluation with the Adon and not with the Adon's son. So that's an implication. It doesn't say beferish. That's why Rav Chiya bar Rav and Omer Yochan didn't like Rava's reasoning. No, why didn't Rava like Rav Chiya bar Avin's reasoning? The Rava, my time below my Rav Chiya bar Avin, why didn't he like his reasoning? That it's from Kilnei Lot, Nosati Esar Yerusha? Because that could be Mishum Kvodo, the Avram Avinu, shiny. That could be because it's dealing with Avram Avinu. So I'll cover to Avram Avinu. That's why Lot was given Yerusha. He is the nephew of Avram Avinu, so therefore he's a special case, and an exception was made. But in general, maybe not. And therefore, that's why Rava didn't like Rav Chiya bar Avin's pasuk. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.